Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I usually have a conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, but Steve is on assignment this week doing Republican things. So this week, I will be talking to a couple of our state legislators as we get ready for this year's 30-day session. We'll start with Senate Republican Whip State Senator Greg Brandt from Sandoval County, explaining how our legislative sessions work.
This year we have a 30-day session mostly focused around the budget, but honestly we will have a lot of other things on the docket this session. One of the things we're really working on, actually had a meeting with the governor about yesterday, is the crime issues in New Mexico. As we have seen, not just in New Mexico, but around the United States, a huge increase in crime over the last 4 years. And one area we've seen that particularly is in our juveniles. Our children are committing crimes. We've seen 12-year-olds carjacking cars. I didn't even know how to drive when I was a 12-year-old, let alone know how to carjack a car. But that's what we're seeing today. So how do we deal with those types of issues? Those are some of the discussions that we're having around here. Some of the discussions as we're getting ready for the session to begin and talking to the governor about getting things put on the call. If you're not familiar with how the legislature works in New Mexico, we do a 30-day session on the even-numbered year, so it's 2024. Welcome to the new year. And it's a 30-day session by our Constitution. It's restricted to only being 30 days. So we will start up exactly 1 week from today at noon, and we will go for 30 days straight. At noon on the last day, which I believe is the 16th of February, we will stop. Anything that's not decided by then dies. It's gone. And so that's the way our session works. It is, this year is supposed to be focused on the budget, like I said just a minute ago, but the governor actually gets to put other things on the call. This is intended so we can deal with issues in the state that have come up that besides the budget. So 90% of the work should be the budget. Now, I will tell you what we've seen increasing over and over again through the years is more and more non-budget things keep getting added to the call. I do know that we will have a lot of crime-related issues added to the call this year. That is going to be a focus of the governor. It's going to be a focus of ours. You know, we want to make sure as Republicans that we continue to fight for safe communities. And we've got to get a handle on our crime issues to do that. It's scary what's happening in New Mexico.
Coming up, I'll be talking with House Republican leader, Representative Ryan Lane from Aztec, New Mexico, on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with me on Inside New Mexico. On the telephone with me is Ryan Lane, our minority floor leader in New Mexico from District 3. Ryan, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on the program again.
Sure. We're glad to have you. And we're curious about a lot of things we're expecting to happen here coming up in the legislature, coming up shortly. What do you foresee that's good and bad?
Yeah, we kick off the 30-day session on Tuesday. Our caucus is focusing on a handful of things. Crime is at the top of the list. Unfortunately, it's a continuing issue in New Mexico, and we're looking at some ways that we can keep our career criminals from getting out of jail. So that's one of the issues we're looking at. Another big one is CYFD. That department, unfortunately, has been a real mess, and it's our children that are suffering in that situation. And so we've got a couple of proposals there to try to work towards providing some practical measures for CYFD fixes. You know, and then education is always a big issue. In New Mexico, we're constantly lagging. We believe firmly that parents should have more options, so that's something that we're going to push as well.
There's a concern about this board that the governor put together to insist that we drive electric cars, and that's become an issue for the Republicans because they feel we should be able to buy electric cars if we want, but we should also be able to drive gasoline or diesel-powered cars.
Yeah, I mean, the electric vehicle technology is really neat, but I love internal combustion engines also that run off of gas. And I think that New Mexicans should be able to decide what they want to drive and what they don't want to drive. And unfortunately, what the governor has done through a rule, not even through the legislative process, is they've declared essentially that New Mexico is going to eventually switch to almost all new electric vehicles. And we live in a state where half of our population, unfortunately, is on Medicaid, and they're trying to make ends meet. And this idea that you have to buy an electric vehicle and that it's going to be able to be charged every night and it's going to work for our rural parts of our state, it's just, unfortunately, it's another example of sort of that ivory tower Santa Fe mentality.
I just don't understand why we can't have one if we want one, but have a gas-powered car if we want that. Why can't we have a choice?
It's a legitimate question, and I think, you know, you and I are people who believe in personal choice and individual liberty and those concepts, that an individual should be able to make their own decisions, and that government is there to protect us from foreign enemies and provide infrastructure and very limited roles, and not to decide what you can and cannot purchase in commerce.
One of the things I saw the governor's pushing, though, is hydrogen-powered cars. I'm open to new ideas, but why are we getting rid of what works before we have something to replace it? That would be my question to the other side of the aisle.
Yeah, and just another example, you know, of trying to have this religious fervor and letting that drive policy instead of doing what's right for New Mexicans and trusting New Mexicans to make their own decisions.
Yeah, so aside from, obviously gun rights issues and electric cars and things, this is all supposed to be about the budget, where a good part of it, of course, comes from oil and gas. Do you think we're going to hit $10 billion in the budget this year?
Yeah, it'll be a little north of $10 billion, and I think we just have to be extremely careful when we come to continue to increase the recurring side of that. It's one thing to look at a revenue surplus and make sure we have enough in the savings account, so to speak, and then we can look at putting money towards one-time projects for infrastructure and different needs that we have across the state. But when you start rolling all that into recurrent spending in government programming, that's where I think we can run into a bind real fast.
And we may not be able to maintain it if everybody started driving electric cars, just because we wouldn't have that revenue from oil and gas. That's something that the governor and the left side of the aisle, for some reason, don't seem to get. And I don't understand that, because they take the money and spend it, but they want to get rid of the source.
Mexico has this identity crisis, I think. So instead of embracing that identity and realizing the technology provides for both clean extraction and clean emissions, instead of embracing that and all the jobs it brings and all the revenue it brings for our state, it's like we're embarrassed of our oil and gas nation. And I don't understand that, because it's such a vital backbone for our economy and provides so many local jobs and rely on so many other things. It funds education, so many things. But you're right. A lot of the folks in the roundhouse are embarrassed by sort of what our state really is.
Well, and by not going after it, we're not really solving anything, because they'll just go get it on the Texas side for the Permian Basin. So we're not really accomplishing anything except losing the money here.
The demand for energy is not going to go down anytime soon.
No. Let's pretend for a minute you're the majority floor leader and you're the Speaker of the House. What would you like to do in this session if you were in charge?
If I had one thing that I could choose, I would implement a school policy to where truly parents can choose where their children get to go to school, whether that's the public school they're born into, whether that's a charter school, whether that's a private school, in a state where we're failing consistently on an educational level and we have enough revenue to both fully fund public education and provide parents options. That, I think, would be the greatest single thing that would move the needle for New Mexico and our children. I have this wild idea that parents know best how to raise their own children. And if you have more than one child, which I do, you realize even though they're born in the same home, fed the same meals, have the same source DNA, they're wildly different children. And so this idea that we have this top-down, one-size-fits-all approach for every single child in New Mexico, there's a reason why we're 51st in the nation. And I think parents in New Mexico really want more options than having to send their kid to a failing school just because they happen to live in a certain zip code.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what happens if you bring that up, but I have a feeling the teachers' unions might have something to say about that.
Yeah, they often don't even let it get a hearing, unfortunately, even though most of New Mexico agrees with that policy.
Well, you know, there's an election coming up, Ryan, and people can make a change.
Let's hope, Derek.
So, Ryan Lane, Minority Floor Leader of the House of Representatives in New Mexico. Thanks for your time. Coming up in the next segment, I will be talking with State Representative Stephanie Lord from District 22. That's Torrance County and part of Bernalillo County. We'll get her thoughts on the upcoming legislative session on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. With me on the telephone is our state representative from District 22 in New Mexico, Stephanie Lord. How are you?
I am fantastic. It's been nice and snowy up here in the East Mountains, just trying to stay warm.
Moisture is always good. It's just not all at once.
Right. Amen, because I have a well and it went dry before, so I'm very happy to have snow.
We have a legislative session coming up. Tell us what you expect to see in this short legislative year.
Well, it's supposed to be budget, but it's not going to. The governor has said numerous times that she wants to take away people's firearms, and she keeps trying to pose it as assault weapons, and those of us that are in the know, no, there's no such thing as an assault weapon. There is no term. So what they're trying to do, the backhanded way they're trying to get around this, is to ban every gas-operated firearm. Well, that takes out every single rifle, all of them, except for bolt action. So that would leave it a bolt action rifle. Now, you could question on some firearms, but they seem to just be pushing around the rifle issue. So they're not being honest about what they're doing. The second thing is they want to do like California did, and that got overturned, is where they had bolted in magazines into the firearms with a limit of 10.
Right.
So they're pushing for that. For example, if you're in your home, and this is why this is a problem, if let's say four or five bad actors came into your house and you needed to defend yourself, 10 rounds may not be able to protect you and your family. You would have no other option except to go, hold on, I'm going to go grab this tool and see if I can get this magazine out, or have multiple firearms all lined up and ready to go. So it's kind of ridiculous all the way around and unconstitutional. So in Lujan typical fashion, as she said, I don't care, because remember, that's why I'm impeaching her, because she said her oath doesn't matter. And by the way, when it comes to just the AR-15, 99.99984% of us with ARs don't do anything wrong with them. But they're going to punish us because of the 0.00, I think it's 0.14% that do. So it's so unfair that those of us who are illegal gun owners are always the ones being punished. And again, I keep hearing from law enforcement that fully autos are walking over the border from Mexico. So we'll be without a way to protect ourselves, but the criminals will have all the firearms they want.
So what can you do? You're the minority party, and we don't have an election till November where that could be changed. Is there anything that you can do to stop this?
Yes. One of the things that we can do is just debate the heck out of the bill and all the bills, quite frankly. It's like playing football. You're trying to run out the clock. And since we're behind, we just have a few tactics like that. We can hope to get some of the moderate Democrats on our side, which I love the moderate Dems, but they're afraid of getting primaried because they're going to get primaried by radical progressives. So yep. We're all in this catch-22 of being under the tyranny of this governor that just does what she wants, which is another bill I'm presenting. Besides impeachment, I'm also trying to rescind all of the powers that she has to be able to do any type of order that she wakes up and has a whim about. Oh, today I'm going to ban guns. Tomorrow we're going to go back to math. So you never know with this woman. But I keep trying, and we keep fighting, and I keep going on the news and national news to try to bring attention into Mexico, and that's all I can do. What we really would be the most helpful is if the majority of our state, which is moderate Hispanic Democrats, realized what was going on and stood up and said enough is enough with this craziness.
That may happen. Steve Pierce was telling me that when they had the booth at the state fair for the Republican Party, there was a constant line of people switching parties.
Yeah, people are fed up. They are just, Every time I go, whenever I've been on national news to talk about New Mexico, I have talked about the division, the state being more moderate Democrat. Now, I have to take out the people who have moved here from out of state, nothing against them, but a lot of them are radical progressives and not from here. And then the people getting elected are radical progressives. It's by design. So now they have taken over the Democrat Party with a tyrant and a dictator leader, and they won't go against her wishes. They do whatever she says without question. Whereas with me, if we had a Republican governor right now, and I'm being totally honest, and they acted the way Lujan did, I would be going after them as ferociously as I am now, because nobody should have absolute power. But as we know, more likely than not, we would not have that kind of leadership. But the point is, nobody should have the power that she has, and nobody should be afraid to go against their own party.
Well, I saw that Steve Pierce's lawsuit against her health order is actually getting some traction. The judges in the Supreme Court are asking questions about, well, where do you draw the line? They can't answer that.
The Supreme Court, it was interesting. One of the attorneys on her side said, well, you legislators are only in session for X amount of days, so she has to have this executive power. You gave it to her. Well, you know what? We've been trying to rescind that, Republicans and Democrats alike, and we can't with her in power because she will punish you. She's very, very, very vindictive. So we have this issue. She has all the power. Now, the attorneys on our side were like, when it came to the gun issue and everything, they were in the problem with people using guns in a bad way. They said, this is chronic. It's not for an executive order. It's not something that just came out of the blue in an emergency. It's a chronic issue that's not being dealt with. And I agree with that 100%. And that comes from elected progressives that keep pushing to let criminals out. That's all they do. It's frustrating.
So you can't carry a firearm in Bernalillo County in a park?
There was a bunch of regulations on that. There was a group of people that tried to stop it to do a restraint order. They got that, then it was overturned, then there was another group that did it, and it stuck. So she's not supposed to be saying any of that because that they did get the restraint order on that. Now it's going to court, and in California, they just lost that. They said, no, you cannot restrict people.
I was amazed. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, we have the right to defend ourselves. Those that are defending ourselves are not the issue. It's the criminals. But they keep saying, oh, I'm in courts and criminal justice. And they keep saying, oh, we need to let people out and it's not fair. And, you know, somebody who's addicted to drugs. Okay. So if we have somebody who's addicted to drugs, maybe we don't want to put them in jail. But where are we putting them? We have one rehab center in all the state. Yeah. Where's our drug rehab? Where's our mental health? If you're going to let people out, there has to be a way to help them get the help that they need. You can't just let them back out on the street. And then the worst of the worst, they need to stay behind bars, period.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to be a popular idea with the people on the left side there. And I don't want to say Democrats, because a lot of Democrats will agree with what you just said.
Yes. Yes. I have a lot of Democrats in my district. I love them. I've broken bread with them. I've been to the Matanzas. I love them. But the problem is the radical progressives that have been elected that call themselves Democrats do not fit the moral compass and what the people of New Mexico believe in. And that's the issue. And I think we need to be better on our side, on the conservative side, of getting that message out.
I wanted to ask you, too, before I let you go, it is a budget session. It's supposed to be anyway. And so what do you think? We're going to go over $10 billion this year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the biggest budget ever. There's an extra $3 billion from oil and gas, yet there's like 5 or 6 bills to get rid of oil and gas. So they are just hell-bent on getting rid of everything, and then they're going to push for more electric vehicles for us to get them sooner by giving tax credits. But then I always wonder, what happens if you're sitting in line to go get your favorite fast food and that car runs out of electricity while it's in there? Do we all just wait, or we push it out of the way? I don't know what's supposed to happen, but we don't have the infrastructure. Electricity isn't magic, you know, and when the wind doesn't blow, we can't get it from the turbines. When there's no sun, we can't get it from solar panels. So all the countries have tried to run off of alternative energies. They fail because they have to crank up the coal plants. And when they do, it costs 3 times as much, and it's very, very expensive. So I don't see this as working. I don't see any of this as working. I don't see, especially law enforcement, we're supposed to give them electric vehicles. And what are they doing if they're chasing somebody?
Yeah.
It's too much of a push to mandate instead of giving us incentives. Like, I'm doing a gun safe rebate. So if you go and buy a gun safe, you get a $500 tax credit. That's a reward. Mm-hmm. That's not saying you must. It's saying, hey, if you want to get one and you should, here's a reward for that.
Well, doesn't matter if we had the infrastructure for electric cars. Doesn't work for me. I cannot wait 2 hours to charge the car. I need to fill it up at a gas station in 5 minutes. If you want an electric car, buy one. But this mandate where she puts together a chosen board of people to decide what she wants them to decide, it seems like she keeps trying to bypass the state legislature on these things.
Yes, that's exactly what she's always trying to do. This is why we've had to go numerous lawsuits, because she constantly takes money and does what she wants with it. She puts her little clan in there and board members on everything, including hydrogen. There's a former rep that was on the hydrogen board that's a friend of hers. So she fills those boards with her people, and they're yes people. The most dangerous thing in the world for anybody is to surround yourself with yes people. You need people to tell you no. You need people to say this is not a good idea or this is a better idea. But she surrounds herself with yes people, and that's her MO, and this is what we have. We have this tyrannical dictator running the state.
Steve had mentioned once that every time you take a lawsuit to the Supreme Court of New Mexico, it's $50,000 to start. Could it be that she's doing these things just to try and drain the resources?
Yes. One of my firm beliefs is, if you're watching what's going on in the gun world, the progressive mode of doing things now, pass something that will not pass muster. It won't pass the Constitution. You can't do this one thing. Pick any bill. And then it goes to court. Now it all comes up to us to have to find people to pitch in to get a lawsuit. So there's one thing. They're banking on you maybe not doing it. When it does happen, and this is even on the national level, you win, then it goes to a higher court, then you lose. Then you win again, you lose again. You win again, you lose again. You go to the Supreme Court, and it doesn't matter even with the gun issues that they've decided you have a right to defend yourself. It doesn't matter. They want to tie up the court system. It takes money and time and resources, defeats people, and that is how they are working the system right now. They're wasting the time and money of everybody to push their agenda.
Well, Steve keeps saying, and I'm sure you would agree, that if we want to change New Mexico, improve the schools, improve the economy, vote Republican.
The problem with our schools, it's a massive disaster. And I am so incredibly frustrated. And I've tried to pass bills where the money follows the children so that the parents have a right. And they don't like that because they can't indoctrinate the children. Look, when you're doing something that doesn't work, stop doing it. The school system does not work. It's not working. We're the worst in the nation over and over and over again on so many levels. But yeah, in our schools, we seem to be okay with keeping the way things are. And yeah, that's a huge, huge problem.
Well, again, if your party was in the majority, you could change these things.
Yeah. Oh, man. Could you imagine all the things we could change, hopefully, that we could get done if we were the majority? But we're not. So, you know, the best you can do is, some of the Republicans have ability to work with the governor. I won't. I just won't, because she'll take a bill no matter how you present it to her, and she'll destroy it. You can say, oh, I want to do this $500 gun safe storage income tax rebate, and then she'll put a poison pill in there that says, well, now it's mandated everybody must have one. If any of your guns get stolen, you're going to be a felon. So unfortunately, there's just no way of working around her. Just this is what she does.
Especially now that she's a lame duck governor, she terms out.
Right. And I'm hoping, my fingers are crossed, that we get ourselves situated, and we better be working on that now. Have our candidate for governor out registering people to vote, getting the word out now, and not waiting to 6 months before the election to get people out to vote for a better candidate.
Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for your time today, and keep us updated on what happens.
And people always need to remember, you do have power. If you send a very cohesive, straightforward vote yes on HB whatever, or vote no, and just put two sentences in there and put your name and your address and your phone number, those will get looked at. But if you write a long dissertation, they won't read those.
And
but they do read it, but you got to put it in the subject line, vote no on this.
Yeah, and don't call your state representative names. That does not help.
Yeah, no. Please don't do that. It's hard enough for me not to do that. So don't. you got to bite your tongue.
Yes.
And you just have to say, vote no on this. This is blah, blah, blah. And your name and address. It's very simple. And you can send off an email. And a lot of people do the petitions and just however you can get the word and call up to their office. Leave a message. Be very nice. Tell them to vote no on this bill. And that's it. Very simple. Doesn't take a lot of time.
All right. And if folks want to get a hold of you, maybe want to support what you're doing, I'm sure you have an email address that is accessible through the state.
Yes, I have. First thing, I have my website always at lord22.com. And then my email is info@lord2020.com. I still have my old email because I have so many emails in there. Yeah. So it's info@lord2020.com. And if you go to my website, you can always go there and click on subscribe to follow me. And I haven't been the best at doing emails because I always feel like I'm bombarding people with them. So I took some time off. But as soon as the session starts, I'm going to be updating people regularly. And you can also follow me. I got a lot of followers on X if you're over there at Lord4NM. And there seems to be less activity lately on Facebook, more on X. I'm getting huge, huge following over there. So follow me, and I'll update you as much as I can.
All right. Stephanie Lord in District 22, that's Torrance County and part of Bernalillo County. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
If you've been listening to our program and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, there are several ways you can do that. One is to check out the website. It's newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and an X account. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you may call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. As always, we thank the local radio station in your town for broadcasting Inside New Mexico. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.